You're listening to Minimum Rage Work, the new podcast meant to vent all about minimum wage jobs. If you ever feel like your minimum wage job is driving you crazy, this is the podcast for you. Follow for new uploads every other week and listen wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for listening. This episode covers sensitive topics such as mild violence and sexual harassment, which may not be suitable for all listeners. Listener discretion is advised. Hey there, and welcome to Minimum Rage Work, the new podcast specifically for venting about the worst parts of minimum wage jobs. Every episode, I'm focusing on a different but equally terrible topic relating to the whole minimum wage ordeal. Every episode, I'll share stories from other minimum wage workers, including my own stories, to remind you that even when your job has you losing your mind, you are not alone. I'm your host, Renee Roldan, and I've been there before. I've had some terrible experiences working for a minimum wage, and I try to repress those memories as often as possible. But every once in a while, they do pop up, and I always feel better about it after talking it out with someone else. I'll be taking you through all sorts of miserable minimum wage stories in this show. I'm like a ship captain, but for trauma. Today's topic makes me think about the state of the world today. Pure evil. I like to think that there's a little bit of good in every person, but in some people's case, it's like a very, very, very little bit. For all the customers that harassed us, yelled at us, insulted us, who represent pure nastiness and evil, this one's for you. To talk about the subject of evil, I had to bring in the good. Representing minimum wage workers everywhere in the fight of good versus evil is the sweetest person I know, Hannah Ramirez. Hannah Ramirez is a student journalist, opinion editor for the Daily Aztec, intern at dozens of news stations, and has had more minimum wage jobs than any person I know. Hannah, thank you for being here.
Hey, I'm so happy to be here.
So Hannah, let's start with the big question. How many minimum wage jobs have you had? Because I've lost track at this point.
Not specifically minimum wage, but in general, 12. About half of those was minimum wage.
Before we get to the sour, let's get to the sweet. Which job did you have the nicest customers in?
Ooh, nicest customers? I would say either handles or crumble, because something I learned is that people are always meaner to you if they need to eat out of necessity. But if it's a dessert place, they will definitely be nicer.
That's really good. What were some nice like customer stories you have?
Honestly, at Handles, one of my favorite ones, or this is something that was pretty recurring, but like little kids would come in and be super excited to have ice cream, and they look at you like you're the best person in the whole world. This one time, actually, because we would, if you go to any Handles location and you request one and your kid's under the age of a toddler, they'll give you a free baby cone. I actually saw this mom give her kid ice cream for the first time, and it was so cute.
That's so sweet. Mm-hmm. That definitely is the kind of thing that like brightens your day, I bet. But now for the sour. Where have you had the worst customers so far?
McDonald's. I will say this every time. It lives up to the hype. I honestly thought people were exaggerating, but I kid you not, I probably had a bad customer service story every single day.
Can you think of like of your worst days?
Yeah, so I didn't experience this personally, but just to kind of like show the magnitude. So we're from this part of Chula Vista, which is honestly a little bit of a nicer, richer area. And we were I worked at the Eastlake McDonald's, which was definitely more in the residential area and was supposed to be one of the nicest ones. Even then, me and my coworkers went through two shooting threats there, which is crazy to say. And one of them actually was over someone not getting their large fry put into their bag immediately, which is so crazy that the cops had to be called for that. But yeah, honestly, a couple stories come to mind, like some fast highlights. I saw a guy get punched in front of me for not handing out orange juice properly. I'm doing quotation marks for those who cannot see. And on a funnier end, I even had someone once tell me that their soda wasn't soda-y enough and that I must have no self-respect for myself while yelling and cursing me out.
So that's like actually crazy stuff to go through. I mean, those are like violent threats and like insulting. Like, how did you cope at the time? Because that's low-key traumatic.
I know. Like, honestly, so for reference, this was like my first job. I had like helped out my uncle at his surf shop before, but this is the first job I actually held. And anyone who knows me knows that I'm a super sensitive person. So the first few months on the job, I probably would cry with these types of customers' interactions. Like, the worst one, which is a funny one I always tell, is that someone threw their credit card at me and was yelling in my face. And I actually, and it was during COVID where you had to wear masks. I cried so hard after that interaction. I had snot circles on my mask for the rest of my shift, and I couldn't change my mask because I didn't have a change of mask. So people would stare at me so weird after that. So yeah, at the beginning, honestly, I would be very sensitive, give into it, cry, run to the bathroom, and then try to like calm down and continue my shift. But after a while, I honestly just like started learning how to either disassociate and just like be like, this is part of my lore. I'm gonna pretend like this is not happening to me. Or I do what's called my flight attendant voice, where I've kind of learned how to gentle parent customers, because there's definitely an art to customer service.
Oh yeah, definitely. Well, tell me more about the flight attendant voice.
So basically, this is like my normal speaking voice, but if I was working food service, this is how I would be talking right now, being super chipper, even if you were already cursing at me. So honestly, it's about tricking the person into being confused about why they're mad. So let's say you were cursing me out because I forgot your large fry. I'd be super happy and super sorry for you, but always keep talking in this voice until like the human side is probably going to take over in that customer, and they'll be like, why is she being so nice to me? I feel confused and I'm kind of forgetting why I'm mad. And honestly, it had like a 90% success rate.
That's pretty good, 90%. What other advice do you have then for people who are working minimum wage jobs? Like, I like the flight attendant voice. What else did you work on? Yeah. What is your unhinged customer service advice?
Unhinged customer service advice? Yes. Find funny ways to have outlets. Like, one of my other best friends that I worked with at this Japanese restaurant, we had a wall of shame where we literally found, this sounds so insane now that I'm saying it, a hidden room in the back of our restaurant. And we would all have the ceremony of climbing up the stair to this attic and putting up like receipts of customers and writing down what we hated about that customer, like mean girl burn book style. So by doing that, not only are you like letting yourself have that anger out and like a healthy way, but it almost makes you look forward to having those type of interactions, because honestly, in customer service, it's inevitable, and it's just about learning how to take the best from it. And it really is about having lore. Like, I've entertained so many people with my different stories about customers.
I love that.
Like, we would even like extreme cases, like put caricatures of the customers so we could identify them if they came back. And it'd be funny because she's like a super girly girl, so some of them would be like in glittery pen with like stickers on them. Honestly, it deserved like a museum gallery. It was just too good. At McDonald's, it was fighting for my life, not just with my own customer service interactions, but people were so miserable, they would literally fight among themselves. And one of the craziest times is that this guy pulled up to our window, and he must have been like complaining that we forgot something or got his order wrong. To be completely honest, like, we were teenagers, sometimes it really was us. And at that time, another car pulled up right behind him and started honking at him like crazy and cursing at him, being like, hurry the hell up, blah, blah, blah. And this guy got so pissed. They were just both so equally pissed. The guy that I was mainly dealing with, the one at front at the window, he gets down from the car and I'm like, this is it. They're gonna beat each other up. He's gonna punch through the windshield or something crazy. The other guy gets out because he sees he's getting out, and it's two men being like, oh, caveman brain, I'm gonna fight him. They're yelling at each other, getting up in each other's face. The original guy is gonna go back to his car because we finally handed him the right order. And the other guy finally says something that sets him off so much, he turns around. I'm expecting a punch. He pulls out a pocket of change and starts throwing change at this guy. Other guy, unfazed, starts throwing change at him back. He just happened to have on hand.
So what, coins? They're throwing coins at each other?
They're throwing coins at each other. And not just like five quarters. Like, it's like pockets of change at each other that they just had on hand. And I'm literally there, like, I wish you guys could see my face right now, like, jaw dropped. The girl who's working the window with me, who's probably like this 40-year-old woman, sighs, just closes the window, and she's like, free break, everybody. And I'm like face pressed, staring at these guys throwing change. And eventually they just got the self-awareness that what they were doing was so stupid. They both parked and pulled up closer to like the grocery store in that same shopping center, laughed, hugged, and drove away.
What?
Yes.
That's actually crazy.
Yeah.
Why are customers so crazy?
I know. Like, honestly, I have this theory that with customer service, the reason, like, someone needs to do, like, some sort of, like, psychology research into this. Like, I'm sure someone is currently working on it, and shout out to you. Keep doing on the work you're doing. But I feel like sometimes people don't even want fast food. They just go for free therapy. Like, they go when they're pissed off at, like, their, like, spouses or just at the world, just to yell at some poor teenager with a headset just trying to get home to their homework. Honestly, it was the first one I kind of like sped through really fast, like the one of the snot mask story. But I think to this day, that was still the meanest customer I ever had. I was like working the kiosk because it was so stupid. They had just this is going to make me sound old in the future. This was when they got the first kiosk at McDonald's. So you didn't have to go up to the register and talk to a real person back in the olden days. But like they had me standing next to the kiosk explaining to people how it would work. And this one guy was just really pissed off. And he was like, I need to buy my burgers. And I was like, okay, sir, blah, blah. And I was explaining it to him, and he's some boomer, and he kept getting mad, and he's like, just pay for me. And I was like, oh, blah, blah, blah. We're not allowed to grab credit cards because it was like COVID. And also it's like, it's a kiosk. The whole point is that like,
yeah,
we
don't
touch
it.
Yeah. And he finally like ended up throwing the credit card in my face, screaming in my face, literally kept getting closer and closer where like, it looked like he could have like attacked me. Like, honestly, that was probably one of the scariest customer interactions I've ever had because there was nobody else around. And I was like this small, like 15-year-old girl. And this guy was like 6 foot. Like, I was seriously like worried about my safety. I don't know if like, well, I was going to say, I don't know if men have to worry so much about their physical safety at food service, but I feel like it's a bit more typical of women. But also, like, I literally had a coworker who got punched in the face for not handing orange juice soon enough. And the fact that, like, you could get injured at these type of jobs is crazy. Like, I know that sounds like a stretch. You could read Reddit stories about it all day, but people literally have such little respect for people in these type of positions. I can't imagine ever punching someone over a food mistake.
No, absolutely. That reminds me, I had a coworker not at my like store, but like in a different branch of the company. And it was the company gossip for a while that you're not supposed to confront shoplifters, but he confronted a shoplifter. He's like, hey man, don't shoplift. And the shoplifter punched him in the face and left him on the floor and ran out.
Aww.
And so he was okay. It wasn't that hard, but it did stun him. And like the shoplifter, I'm pretty sure, did get away. But that was like the company gossip. Like, isn't it crazy how people will like punch you over like a, you know, $20 action figure, like a $10 comic. Why does this job have work hazards of like physical violence? That makes no sense at all.
Yeah. You know? And like, honestly, these things aren't like a necessity for people. Like, half the time at McDonald's is just people getting a snack. It's not like you're going to starve of hunger. Or like, especially at a comic book shop. Oh, yeah. Like, that's something you should be going to for fun.
Oh, yeah, no. But you'd think that people's like life depended on it. I can definitely tell you like my like meanest customer story, like the one that like made me cry the most. And here's the thing. I think that there were other incidents where I did cry closer to when I first started that job at the comic book store. But I remember this one so distinctly because it was really far into my career. Like, I think I was about to quit. Like, I think I had already put in my 2 weeks notice when this happened. And it stuck out to me because it was just so, like, mean, and it made me so close to crying. But the story is this. I was an opener there, so I would come in first, and there was no one else there for, like, an hour, and I would just, like, run the shop by myself for a while. Definitely not small enough for me to be the only one there. Like, it was a huge store, but I was, like, the singular person there for an hour, like, every day. So I came in and there was like a family waiting when I came in. I made them wait for a little while, but they were like really impatient about it. And so then finally when I opened up, they come in and they start looking around and they grabbed like a bunch of like figurines from the store and stuff like that. And then they asked me like, hey, there's a figurine up there of like, I think it was like a Chucky doll, you know? And he's like, I see that Chucky doll up there that's on like a really, really high shelf behind the counter. I want that. Like, can you grab it for me? And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, let me get like the ladder. I had to use a ladder to grab like everything because you can't see me. I'm super short. And there were super tall shelves like all over the store. So regularly I had to like drag the ladder everywhere to try and get to the stuff on the top shelf. Now in this particular story, the space behind the counter is very narrow. And there were some like comic book boxes that I couldn't move that were in the way. So it was like basically in that moment impossible for me to set up the ladder in a way that I could reach the figurine and not be like at risk of falling or the ladder folding in on itself or like tipping over or anything like that. And honestly, like I really tried it. I put the ladder up. I tried to like make it like stable, but basically it just wasn't working out because it was so crowded behind the counter. I told the customer straight up, like, I can't reach this figurine and I can't set up the ladder in a way that's like not compromising to my safety. So I can't grab it for you. I'm sorry. And he's like, well, can't someone else grab it? And I'm like, no, I'm the only employee right now. So there's no one else that can grab it. And he's like, well, when is someone else coming in? And I'm like, well, I don't know. They're supposed to be here soon, but like, again, there's nothing I can like grab that. He's like, so what you're saying is like, there's nothing you can do to grab that figurine. And I'm like, yes, that is exactly what I'm telling you. But he kept pushing and he's like, well, oh, and this is also in Spanish. Spanish is not my first language. So I find it harder to argue and like to defend myself in Spanish. So I already have like the language disadvantage and I'm like being nervous because this guy's like starting to yell at me now. Like he's getting really mad. And he's like, well, I came all the way from Tijuana so I could buy like figurines and stuff like that. So are you really going to tell me there's nothing that you can do to like grab that for me? And I said like, yeah, straight up, there's nothing I can do to grab that figurine for you. And he's like, well, can't you figure something out? And I'm like, kind of giving up at that point because I'm like, okay, the only thing I could think of is if I got on like the smaller ladder, which I can like put safely and then hit it with a broom until it falls down. But I even told him like, but you don't want me to do that because then it's going to fall. The box is going to like crumple or the figurine could even break. And like, you're going to be upset when your figurine is like not intact because these people are so specific about like their figurines being perfect and like not a single bent edge, anything like that. And he's like, well, no, I can't have it like broken because like I'm going to take these to Tijuana to resell them. And part of our store policy is that if someone tells you they're a reseller, you have to refuse to sell to them. But at this point, I was so scared of this guy, I didn't even say anything about, like, the reseller thing because, like, I don't know, he was already yelling at me and, like, really in my face and, like, really upset. So he's like, well, do that then. Like, bring it down. Like, I don't care how you have to do it. Just bring it down. And I'm like, I mean, fine, sure, I'll do that. So I hit it with a broom until one of them fell down. And there was, like, another one behind it on the shelf still. But, like, the first one fell down. It honestly wasn't that badly damaged. Like, there was, like, a bend in the plastic. The figurine was intact. I could see it. And I'm like, all right, like, here you go. Here's your thing. And he's like, oh, this one has, like, bent plastic. Can you grab me the other one instead? Because I don't want this one because it has bent plastic. And I told him, no, I'm not grabbing anything for you anymore. Like, if I sell you anything today, it's going to be this figurine because I cannot reach that one. You've already, I think I even told him, like, you've been, like, really rude to me. I'm not going to grab anything else for you. So are you, like, done so I can ring you up? And then he got huffy. He's like, yeah, fine, whatever. He bought, like, a bunch of stuff, like, literally hundreds of dollars worth, including that figurine. He took his stuff, went on his merry way. And then I sat behind the counter and, like, cried until my coworkers showed up. At that point, I had already mentally checked out of that job because, like I said, I'm pretty sure I'd already put in my 2 weeks notice by then because I couldn't handle working at that job anymore. So for me to be already in like this checked out mentality, but something else being just like so obnoxious that it made me cry was like kind of a big deal to me. So that one sucks.
No, that's so real. Oh my gosh. I'm so sorry about that. No, honestly, okay. It kind of just goes back to like, okay, I feel like it's only ever male customers who really try to lean in with the physical intimidation. Like they're not afraid to get into people's faces. And I just feel like that's so messed up. Mm-hmm. Honestly, like I hope most people know this and it's something they consider, but the way you treat customer service people is so telling of the type of person you are.
Oh, absolutely.
Actually, this story is a specific instance of that, but I wasn't the one like working behind like the counter. Mm-hmm. I had this friend in community college where I was like getting pretty close to her and I had so much fun hanging out with her. We were kind of at the point where we'd like do everything together. And then one day, dun, 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 we decide to go for like a little like after school snack to the Carl's Jr. next to the community college. She's even going to treat me, which is like, wow, so sweet. What could go wrong? We pull up to the Carl's Jr. And for reference, this friend of mine, one of the things we bonded over is that we're like both first generation. She actually is an immigrant, which is very important for this story. Mm-hmm. We're both Hispanic and we pull up to the Carl's Jr. And the woman who's taking our order is this like older Mexican lady. You can kind of tell that she has a pretty thick accent, but she's talking to us in English. And my friend, I guess she really wanted this type of breakfast sandwich. And all of a sudden the lady tells her like, hey, you know what? I'm sorry. Like we don't have that. My friend's a little annoyed, but she's kind of like, whatever. So she asks for a different item and the lady accidentally puts down a different item and she's about to ring us up at the next window when my friend is like, excuse me, and starts getting really pressed, like going on like, this isn't what I wanted, this and that, and kind of raising her voice, getting annoyed. So like, obviously the lady who's working the intercom like gets a little like defensive and she's like, hey, I'm sorry, that's what I heard, I can change it. Like trying to work with her.
Yeah.
But my friend's continuing to get pressed.
Oh, like escalating the situation.
Yeah. And all of a sudden, she's like, oh, you kind of said that wrong, blah, 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 like making cracks at this woman's accent.
What, like correcting her like speech?
Yeah. She's like, that's not what it's called. And then she proceeded to call her the arsler.
What?
In that moment, I've never wanted to duck and roll out of a vehicle more.
No, that's so nasty.
I was not friends with her after that.
Oh my gosh, no. No, I wouldn't be either, because like, how are you gonna like use that language at all? Or like talk to someone like that when they're just doing their job?
Yeah.
Like, I can't imagine being that pressed over a breakfast sandwich.
I think I literally gasped when she said it. I was like, are you kidding? Like, I think I was, like, shocked in the moment because it really came out of nowhere. She had not done anything like that before. And also, just not only are you just, like, a young woman, you should be aware how you're coming off. She had also worked in customer service, which is so crazy.
Yeah.
But also the fact that, like, she literally immigrated to, like, the U.S. as a kid and she would talk to another person of color like that.
Yeah, no. And just, like, knowing how hard that experience can be.
Those type of microaggressions.
That's like a macroaggression.
Yeah,
that's
honestly, macroaggression.
That's, no, that's just a bad thing to do.
Yeah.
That's so messed up. But even that customer service story, like from the other side, gives you like a good perspective on like what customer service experience people have to go through, like what these experiences are. Kind of crazy to hear it like coming from the other side of the drive-thru, yeah. You know?
Actually, if it's okay, now I have a question for you.
Yeah, tell me.
So that was obviously like more of an extreme question, but I don't know if this is like a, I think this is a universal experience, and I'm curious to see what you're going to say. Do you think after working like customer service jobs, you've become more aware of the people around you and the no-nos they do? Or do you have like any specific like examples of that? Because I have some that come to mind.
Oh my gosh. My parents definitely raised me to be like super nice to service workers and like especially like waitresses, because like my mom was raised off of her mom's waitress salary, you know? So like always it's been a super huge thing for me to be nice to customer service workers. So I think that that has been the same. I think if anything, working customer service has made me more guilty to be a customer, where I like go places and I'm like, oh my God, like I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry for being a customer. This is so embarrassing. I recently took a trip to Italy and I had to go to the bathroom at one point because I'm just like walking around on the streets. So my partner and I ducked into like a little department store like there, right? But it's super small. And I asked one of the employees, I'm just like, hey, like, is there a bathroom I can use? Can I go to your bathroom? And they're like, no, sorry, there's no bathroom. I'm like, okay, fair enough. So I leave and I go back outside where my partner's waiting for me. And he's like, well, what happened? Like, they didn't let you use the bathroom? And I'm like, yeah, no, they said there's no bathroom. He's like, well, there's got to be a bathroom because like, where do they go to the bathroom? I'm like, no, I know. I'm sure there's like an employee bathroom. There's just no like customer bathroom. And then he like got a little offended at that. He's like, wow, that's so messed up. Like, obviously they have a bathroom in there. How could they not let you use it? Like, that's so mean of them. And I'm like, no, I'd do the same thing. I would absolutely 100% in their position do the same thing. Why would I let a customer use my bathroom when that's my bathroom? Like, I don't know. I don't want customers in there messing it up. That's, I guess, like a bit of a difference because he hasn't worked service. So he like, I don't know. I think he still has like the light on in his soul where he wants to be like nice and generous to everyone and thinks everyone else should like do that too. But for me, it's like, no, I completely get where they're coming from because I would do the same thing.
I have this one friend where I love her to death, but it gives me so much social anxiety whenever I go shopping with her because she has no shame in taking up all the time at the store, like go through every aisle and carefully look for everything. The 30-minute warning goes on. No rush. 20-minute warning, no rush. 15-minute warning, no rush. Oh my goodness, I just always feel so guilty. Like, even if I walk into a place 30 minutes before closing, retail or food, I feel like my soul's gonna die. I feel like I've done something utterly wrong. And it's funny because she recently had a retail job for the first time, and I think that kind of clicked for her where she'd be like, customers come in 30 minutes before we close. I'd be like, what? I can't imagine doing that.
Who would do that?
So it's kind of funny to see how like fast the switch can flip from like thinking something is like normal or a little bit more acceptable.
Yeah, no, not a big deal.
And as soon as you have a specific job, you're like, I would never do that again.
And I think that makes sense. It requires you to have like empathy. It literally requires you to see things from the other side of the drive-thru, you know?
Yeah.
So I think it's interesting. We're talking about like evil customers, but I mean, do you believe in good and evil? Why do you think it's so hard for some people to be nice to service workers? Like, where do you think that comes from?
Mm-hmm. So like in general, good and evil. Yeah, absolutely believe in it. Like I definitely like if we're getting into deeper stuff, I do believe more in like everybody has a little bit of good and evil inside of them. Like nobody's like completely 100% except for Trump, completely 100% evil.
Obviously. Yeah. So, why do you think it's so hard for some people to be nice to service workers?
Like, honestly, I don't think that it's like hard for them, because if you think about it, people do have a level of self-awareness, and I think it kind of comes down to how they perceive the place that you're working at, which is sad to say. Like, I'm sure the type of treatment I got from customers at a McDonald's, they would definitely treat me different if I was at a steakhouse being their server instead. Or like, depending on like, are they with company, are they alone? I really do think that people kind of give themselves a hall pass to treat like customer service workers bad if they perceive the place to be a little less fancy.
Mm-hmm. That even brings up like the issue of class. If someone sees you as like in a servant position, that's something that they deem to be like low class or like below them. I'm not saying it's the right thing to do, but there is a tendency of people to treat you worse or like you're below them or anything like that. I think a lot of people, in my experience, people are almost like looking for that excuse, like looking for an excuse to feel higher than someone or better than someone. So they will treat customer service employees bad because of that, because it's the only excuse they get basically to punch down. Which is like messed up that we're being punching bags for a minimum wage, especially. That's so messed up. It's all part of the job, I guess, but like it really shouldn't be.
Like honestly, one time I even got confirmed that like it wasn't about me. They just needed an excuse to let their anger out. On Easter morning one year when I was working at McDonald's, all of these are McDonald's and it's for a reason, yeah, working the McDonald's drive-thru. One guy came through 6 a.m., drunk as hell, calling me some racist things.
Oh.
Telling me some crazy stuff. And then all of a sudden, at the end, he's like, do you want to know why I'm telling you this stuff? And I was so done. And I was like, sure. Why not? Why are you telling me this stuff? And he's like, you remind me of my wife. And she's always mean to me.
Oh,
like
okay.
He actually admitted that he was taking out his anger on me because his wife got mad. And that moment was honestly like clicked a light bulb in me, thinking about how many times have I had random men come through this drive-thru mad at me even before, in theory, I've done anything wrong. It's because they were already mad before they left the house.
That's actually nasty. Yeah. I hate that story.
And then he proceeded to tell me how much I look like his wife, and it was so weird.
So gross.
And especially since he was calling me racist stuff at first. I was like, does your wife need help?
How old were you in this story?
So like for reference, all the McDonald's stories, 16.
Oh, God. Ew.
Yeah.
And how old is he?
Oh my God, he's like definitely like around our parents' age. I want to say like late 40s.
Yuck.
Yeah.
That's so messed up. But God, yeah, there were a lot of stories like that. My experience also has a lot of sexual harassment. Like that is not at all something that's uncommon. None of that's fun. None of that's easy to go through. And that's something that I feel is so specific to young women working in service, where not only are we people's punching bags, but we're also like eye candy. I'm just trying to do my job. I'm just trying to like bag these comics. Stop asking me out. I already said no. Stuff like that. I don't know. It makes you feel like a piece of meat. So, Hannah, now that we've had this conversation about evil customers, do you have any final thoughts? What else do you have to say to, like, the people out there, to the workers, to the customers?
Final thoughts?
Yeah.
Honestly, okay, I even wrote about this for my college admissions essay about how working in food service is like the Stanford prison experiment. There's definitely extremes to the interactions you have. All of that to say, you know how in high school they make you do community service hours?
Yeah.
It should be a requirement for people to work minimum wage fast food service jobs.
Oh, absolutely.
Because if everyone had this sort of understanding or had to go through this experience, I do think the world would be a better place. Because honestly, on a nerdier end, you know how people are always talking about the importance of transferable skills on a resume?
Yeah.
I think that even comes down to being a decent human, like transferable experiences.
Oh, yeah.
And these types of jobs are definitely like a character builder and empathy builder. So even though it's horrible, I would encourage people to try to at least put yourself in like this person's shoes and just understand like kind of the experiences they have to go through. Treat everyone with grace. And yeah, if you have the chance and the need, I would encourage doing one of these jobs sooner than later because it builds character.
Yeah, I like that. And the final question I'm going to ask all interviewees on this podcast is this. Hannah, you and I are more than just work. What do you want to promote in your life?
Well, I'm so glad that you asked that, honestly. So I have worked a lot of food service, but it's no secret that journalism is my passion and honestly something that I've been really working towards. So if you want to follow a little bit of my work, I do a little bit of community reporting, investigative work. Right now I'm working an internship at iNewsSource, but also I'm doing a fellowship with this program called News 21 through Arizona State University. You can follow me at Hey It's Salma on Instagram, and I pretty much post whenever I have stories on there and just links to my work.
Great. Yeah. So people out there should definitely check it out. That's all the time we have for today. Hannah, thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. So Hannah and I are going to go drown our sorrows in fancy cocktails now. Tune in next time for a new topic, new stories from the minimum wage front lines, and don't forget to subscribe to get a notification when new episodes come out. Thanks for listening.
Minimum Rage Work is brought to you by JMS 415, written and edited by Renee Roldan, recorded by Renee Roldan and Hannah Ramirez. Intro-outro music is Crumb Queen by The Souls, used with permission of the artist. Thanks for listening.